So I thumb on the comms. I say, Monsieur Sicari, and I saw you did not enter the club.
Yes, they wanted our weapons. I am pretty certain that was a bad idea, but Mr. Higgins insisted that he goes in anyways. I'm waiting on his word.
Did they ask you to surrender your weapons as well, waiting outside?
No, of course not.
Excellent. All right, Monsieur Higgins, if you get into any trouble, let us know. We are prepared to give you help.
You just hear the pounding of the bass from within the club.
Yeah. You don't get a response from me. I'm just screaming.
Cool.
I'm enjoying the moment.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess...
This is based. This is a retro sci-fi, so it's more like maybe a discotheque scene. Like
totally. So we cut back to Higgs, and it's very much like the kind of like Middle Eastern influenced disco instead of like techno or anything. Lots of
Higgins
like,
fucking loves it.
Yeah, I'm totally in it, man. I'm raging.
Yeah, sort of vaguely ethnic sounding. Music band.
Everyone's
on
future rollerblades. They're just like little hover skates.
Yeah.
Am I being escorted?
So when you come in, there is not right away, right? So
yeah.
you first come in, and there's an area straight ahead of you that's slightly lower than the rest of the bar that's got all the tables around it, and then there's the stage at the back. On stage right now, there are a couple of people. There's like some women dancing. The whole place is super smoky. It has this sort of like sepia color to everything because of the smoke and because the lights are all kind of like a dull kind of like lantern simulation.
Yeah.
There's a long bar off to the left with a whole bunch of like bottles, and it's like backlit. So there's a bunch of like kind of weird liquid light coming from there. And there are people walking around, like servers walking around carrying drinks and stuff, and it's like pretty busy in here.
Okay.
Yeah, so you notice immediately that like the air is really thick, it's kind of hard to breathe. Yeah, it's really crowded, and nobody approaches you right away. So you have a second to kind of like look around.
Okay. Yeah, I look around, and I guess any information in terms of the layout of where I might be going to, in terms of like rooms upstairs where I might be going to, I give that to Mr. S, kind of a mental layout of the building inside, while also just trying to do my best to fit in. So whether that is like finger dancing my way to the bar or doing something.
Everything he says, I'm committing to memory as hard as I can. And I'm just sitting there facing the guy that you identified as the more dangerous guy.
Yeah, the actual
I'm holding
guard.
My blade, and I have a grenade in the other hand.
Okay.
I'm wondering if Piani can actually track Higgs' location through his comm system.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cool.
Do you want to... Is that something you want to do, Piani?
Yeah. You want me to make a roll?
Yeah, make a quick computer's roll, because there is some interference, but I'll let you know more about that when you roll. Okay. So he cuts in and out a little bit. And you can't get like a really exact lock on him. It seems like there's something in the building that's jamming comms in and out. So like people's comms don't work necessarily like perfectly inside, and that's not an accident. It's not just bad reception. There's like some kind of jammer there. Higgs, the closer you get to Mustafa Lee's office, because you saw the schematics before, you kind of like know where you guys think his office would be.
Okay.
The stronger that jamming gets.
Gotcha. I don't really make my way towards his office. I go to the bar.
Okay. Sure.
And I just order like whatever spirit. I don't know what this place would serve, but alcohol on the rocks. I don't get it mixed or anything.
Okay.
I demand when
alcohol, sir.
Yeah. When he goes to pour it, I demand that it's two ice cubes and nothing else, just that and the alcohol.
Okay.
And just a regular size cup.
Yeah, the bartender pours you a generous drink.
Do I swipe credits?
Yeah. You have like a combat, but you go to do it, and he like puts his hand up, and he's like, "No, on the house, you're a guest." And he like points up at the like balcony, and you can see Mustafa Lee like leaning on the.
He's going like this. He goes, "I'm the king of the world."
Yeah, he's leaning on the banister, smoking a cigarette and talking to some like other guys that are dressed in like nice suits. And he sees you and gives you a little like, "Glad you could make it."
Yeah, I hold up my glass and just kind of nod to him. Yeah, and I start making my way towards that staircase.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you get to the bottom of the staircase, and there are two more like bouncer guys standing at the bottom of the staircase, but they move out of the way as soon as you approach. And then you make your way up the stairs, and by the time you get up there, Mustafa Lee has gone into his office, but the woman that you talked to on the on comms earlier is waiting for you at the top of the stairs. And she says, "If you'll follow me," and she gestures for you to come with her to the office.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'd follow a pretty lady anywhere. Let's go.
She laughs politely.
Okay.
Okay, so she takes you over to what's at this point, like seeing it in real life, like obviously this guy's office. Like it's got a big fancy door that's been installed. Despite the fact that this place is like a corrugated metal cargo container, it's been renovated enough that it looks like, I mean, you could see this place existing on really any like nice, well-populated planet, not just like, you know, like a backwater. Like they put a lot of effort into it. And so she opens the door and gestures for you to go inside.
Okay. Yeah, I walk in.
Okay. And she closes the door behind you.
Does she come in?
No.
Okay. So is it just me and Mr. Lee?
So inside, the room is, like pretty big. It's probably like 800 square feet. There's a huge, huge wooden desk, like an oak desk, straight across from you. And the behind it is a big overstuffed chair. The walls have like animal skins hanging on them, there's like a big like fancy like woven rug on the floor, and several other kind of nice looking chairs facing the desk. In the big chair, you see Mustafa Lee. He's just lighting another cigarette. And standing behind him is like one of the guys you saw getting off his ship. probably his bodyguard. The guy's like almost 7 feet tall, huge, big black guy. He's wearing fatigues and holding a like an AK, basically like a assault rifle. And he's got around his neck like a necklace that looks like, it looks like if you, it's hard to describe, if you had like a chainsaw whose chain was made out of shark's teeth and you just pulled the chain off and made a necklace out of it, he's yeah. got that around his neck.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks kind of scary.
Okay. Yeah, when I walk in, I'm just like, great place you got here, Mr. Lee. Thanks for the hospitality. Hand up the drink.
He nods. He says, I don't drink myself, but please enjoy.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm just trying to fit in with the company, you know, and I put the drink down on the table.
Okay. He gestures to the to one of the chairs. He's like, "Please, have a seat."
Of course, of course. I sit down. So, what can we do? What can I do for you?
Straight to business, then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any pleasures that I mind sharing with you. I keep those to myself.
He puts the cigarette in his mouth, and the big, like, tough guy just sort of appears, like, with a lighter, lights it for him. He takes a long drag. And he says, "You owe me some money, Mr. Higgins."
Well, do I owe you money, or do I owe Miss Calliobeus money?
I understand you have some business with her, but I don't care about that.
Okay, good. I don't care about it either.
He says Kalia is an upstart, not someone I'm personally very fond of.
Okay, well, I've had many people claim that I owe money. What is it that I owe you money for?
You and your friends destroyed something that belongs to me. The facility, Subhadra, maybe you remember. It wasn't so long ago.
Well, I've since been... I'm thinking back on my life the past 2 weeks. I've been in jail. I got interrogated.
I thought my friends were all going to die. I saved four of my friends from cryostasis. I've been on another ship. No, I don't remember blowing up some facilities. When did this happen? How long ago was this?
He shakes his head. Don't play coy with me, Higgins.
I'm not playing coy. I'm just dumb, man. Help me out here.
he says, I own several storage facilities. At one point, kept some very valuable chemicals, which you stole. Facilities were destroyed. And then, and this is the part I don't understand, you didn't even have the common courtesy to try to sell the chemicals you stole from me. Your piece of garbage ship was simply gutted in space, and all of my valuable belongings discarded into the darkness.
Yeah, I
remember any of this?
I do remember. I think we had to get rid of those so we could live, which is funny because here I am about to die again, so that didn't really work out.
He laughs. He's like, do you think that's what I want, Mr. Higgins? You think I want you dead?
Well, I mean, I think you want your stuff. I guess money. How much money do I owe you?
I have a lot of money already, Mr. Higgins.
Oh, that's great. Then I guess we're good.
No, I would like you to repay me, but I don't want money from you.
Well, I'm not going to put on a show with him here, sir. I'm sorry.
He says, you're an amusing buffoon. I'll give you that. I want you to do me a favor, Higgins.
Same thing. What's okay? What are we talking?
Well, you have a ship, don't you?
Yeah, I believe that is the one you just criticized, yes.
I need you to transport some cargo for me.
Well, I think you saw how that went last time. I mean, how much cargo are we talking?
Enough. You don't need to ask questions about it. I just need you to take it somewhere for me.
I can't ask how big the cargo... Well, I guess I'll just have to see it later. You're right. Where are we taking it?
I need you to take it to the gunhold system.
Okay, and what am I to do with it when we get there?
Give it to a contact of mine. Make sure it gets there safely.
This is not some fucking AI that's going to say that he owns me, is it? I'm just saying, if that was... I mean, I never heard anything of that, but it's not, is it?
He just kind of squints at you and is like, no, it's
okay.
Not.
Okay. God, that'd be weird if that happened. I'm just saying. I assume we're not getting paid for this?
He laughs. It depends on whether you value your life or not.
Well, I do, so I understand it. Say, how about if we do this, we do some other jobs for it, and you pay me for those?
He kind of, like, seems surprised, but also, like, pleased that you said that, and he's like, you're an ambitious man. I like that.
I gotta keep on living.
Good. You do this for me, it wipes the slate clean, and then we talk about you doing more work.
Okay, one more question, and this is really important, because I got a guy on the ship who really hates this shit. I'm not transporting drugs, am I?
He says, not this time, no.
Okay, in the future, if you could, you know, put a dash next, like Wilbur Higgins in your little book, put a dash, no blue fever, and then a check mark next to that with a plus sign for extra... Maybe an asterisk, that might help. You know, that's what I do when I want to remember. I put an asterisk next to it and bold it, like draw.
There are some people, he like lets you ramble a little bit, and then he's like, okay, I've had enough. And he's like, there are some people in my organization, Mr. Higgins, that think that blue fever is the solution to every problem that they might have. And while, yes, it's been successful so far, I don't place stock in such things, so I understand that a member of your crew has some problems with this, but you won't have to worry about that, at least not right now.
Okay, great. And I hold up my hand to him to, like, say, like, stop, and I keep holding my hand up, and does he have any way for me to type to him? Like, I guess he has, like, his computer in front of him, right? But I can't just reach over and grab that.
Yeah, like he's got a tablet or something. But you've got your compad. You could just like type a text file and show it to him.
Okay. Yeah. I type into the compad and type play along, and then I hold it up to him.
And okay.
I give him like a thumbs up.
Yeah, he kind of gives you like a squint and is like,
okay.
Puts his hands up. Like okay.
I'm like, well, okay, sir. Are we done here? And I do a thumbs down.
He says, he kind of looks at you like he doesn't know what he's supposed to say. And then he's like, no.
What do you mean we're not done here? And I give him another thumbs down.
It's as I said, I'm not done with you yet.
I give him a thumbs up. And I'm like, wait, why is your bodyguard come over here? What are you bringing out a knife for?
And he says, You've displeased me a great deal, Mr. Higgins.
I give him another thumbs up and put the thumb or the data pad away, and I'm just like, no, please put it. I don't need. And then I just rip my comms out.
Okay.
To where no one else can hear what's going on.
All right. So I guess Sicarian and Prosper and all that. You guys hear that?
You had an open channel with us that whole time.
I would assume that someone was at least listening, or yeah, sure.
Well, I certainly was, so I look at Piani, I say, Miss Beak, shall we knock on the door?
Oh, yeah.
I pull the pins from the two grenade, drop them by the wall, and we just run out of the room.
So Karian's, okay. Like, frozen because he very specifically was given a code word, so he's like,
he's
trying to compute this over, this does not add up.
Okay.
So he opens up we would hear the comm go dead, I guess.
Yeah.
Then I would open up a comm to...
So when Prosper says, like, should we knock on the door, do you say anything to be like, hold on, he didn't give the signal?
That's what I'm saying. I open a comm to Piani and Prosper, and I say, hold action. He very specifically gave me a code word, and that was not it.
Okay, so I've got the pins out, but I'm still holding the...
Yeah, so you just, like, put that the handles.
Like... Monsieur Sicarian makes a salient point.
You remind me very much so of somebody else, Mr. Prosper, but now is not the time. Something strange is happening, though. I'm not sure what to make of it yet.
So, back in Mustafa Lee's office, he says, what was that about?
Well, sorry about... you know I have a crew, right? And these guys, they don't trust me so much right now. And I had to make them think that you're probably going to kill me. Because that's probably what they thought. I'm not going to lie. They had some grenades. They were going to come in here attack. They still might do it. If they do, I guess you're okay to kill them. But anyways, what I need is for you to go and get them. And this will help them convince... Or help you... Help me, rather. It's going to help all of us, is what I'm trying to say. But I need to convince them to work for you for free. And if I do that by them getting arrested or you pulling them in here or something like that, that's probably the best method. I can't just go straight to them and say, like, hey, we're going to go run this stuff for some guy because I owe him money. You guys are coming along. They're going to tell me to go fuck off and leave me here.
That sounds like your problem, Higgs.
Well, the other problem is that now I've got three people outside. I've got four grenades. You've got a guy outside in full body armor suit. I don't know what they're going to do. So now it's kind of our problem.
I think we should just give you back to them, and you can all solve this problem together.
Okay, but I'm going to allow you one simple pleasure. How's that sound? I had him a knife. I like pull out a knife, and I'm like, I need you to, I got to act like I was stabbed. And I just like hand him the knife. And then I just like turn around, I'm just like, please be quick.
He doesn't take the knife. He lets you put it on the desk, and he kind of like, yeah, like rubs his chin, and you can tell he's thinking about whether he wants to do it or, and he gestures to his like bodyguard, and the bodyguard, he picks you up, basically drags you back through the club, As you're leaving Mustafa's office, he's like, "I'll be in touch."
Okay, you have a good day, sir. I'll get stuff there.
you get dragged back out through the club and up to the front door. And before the door opens, the bodyguard like grabs you and like holds you in one hand, and he's got like the knife or whatever. And he looks and he's like, "You are a very strange man."
Hold on. And I like take off my shirt. I'm like, "Can you finish? I've got three wounds right here. If you put another one, it'll make a cute little diagram, and the girls will think it'll sexy. So right here, I point to it."
He shakes his head and yeah, he like gets you with the knife, but this guy's like pretty precise, so it looks way worse than it actually is. Like, you only take one hit point of damage.
Okay.
Yeah, he like gives you a poke and then shoves you out the front door. So Sicarian, you see Higgs get like stumble out into the street, and he's like bleeding. And there's this big tough guy holding a knife behind him.
Okay, and I come over the comms. I'm like, Mr.
I've seen that 1,000 times though, so it doesn't actually rattle
totally.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. And I come over the comms once I like get thrown to the ground. I'm like, Mr. S, don't shoot this guy. We're good. We're okay. I stand up and just kind of like,
in Mr. Sicarian's most sardonic way, he says, "What a relief."
I'm like nursing my wounds. I'm like, "Well, we're all done here, folks. I'll think it's time for another annual meeting. I've got some news." And I'm going to need some patching up.
So you guys, you want to meet back up on the ship?
Yeah, you know, I guess.
We can't go to the ship, right?
Oh, that's right.
Right, yeah. Space Master Adam.
I forgot. Sorry. Well, they might not have started yet, but yes.
Prosper's
he's like, "In fact, they haven't. I just decided, right. Jeff, you jerk." I'm like, "Oh, no."
Yep. They're ventilating the ship. You can't go on there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, where do you go then to have your post conversation discussion?
I guess I've comms Piani and Prosper. I'm just like, "Hey, where are y'all two at?"
"We're at a very nice hookah bar, Monsieur Higgins. Would you like to join us?"
Are there a lot of people there?
"Not in our private room."
Okay, that sounds about right. All right, I'll be there in a sec. I got to nurse a wound, and I'll do it. I'll tell you what happened when we get inside. I'm coming over there
right
now.
Very nice as she.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Prosper. I just cut the call. I make my way over. I would assume that
Hicks and Frenchmen's not getting along even in the distant future.
Yeah. And I tell...
you have New Orleans in common.
I tell Mr. S what we're doing, unless he heard that conversation, and make my way to the other one.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are... So, yeah, you guys are in the back of the like, hookah bar. Just, like, hanging out in the, like, dimly lit pillow room. The mood lighting glinting off of Mr. Sicarian's perfectly polished helmet.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Higgins, please... come in.
All right, are you okay to have a conversation?
May we?
Fucking great.
Are you actually baked? Thanks. It's like you had a bunch of hashish and stuff.
I turn around to the owner. I'm just like, "How long they been in here?"
He's like,
5 minutes.
All right, get the
fuck. Piani has like two hookahs.
Yeah, just giving her. it's okay. It's for your MES. You got a card.
Yeah.
Right.
I turn to the guy and I'm just like, "I'm sorry about the blood. We'll clean it up here in a bit." Okay. And I walk into the room and shut the door. And I guess like as I'm tending to my wound, I guess I have like a shirt or something pressed up against it. I'm just like, "Well, you guys aren't going to believe this." Well, you probably will actually. Did you hear the conversation?
Heard a bit.
Until the comms were severed, yes.
Yeah, he told... Okay, so at that point, his bodyguard had his knife drawn on me, and he was going to kill me, but you know me and my silver tongue, I cut a deal. They knew you guys were outside somehow. I don't know... I assume they
Why
saw
did
Mr.
your comms go out in that situation?
They bugged the room. They know what to... I don't know this shit, man. Piani, why'd my comms go out? See, Piani doesn't even know.
I mean, Piani, you know that the comms...
I would assume that it had something to do with the jamming.
Yep.
Like, is there a detect lies ability in Stars Without Number?
Not really. Like, no.
All I'm operating off of is that he didn't say the code word, so it really strikes him as odd.
Yeah. Prosper just kind of goes, Monsieur Higgins, it's no problem. Please have a little hashish. Just relax for a moment. You're so uptight.
You can put your shirt back on over there, Prosper.
I loosen my shirt and just like pull it open.
All right,
I'm like Monsieur Higgins, do I make you uncomfortable?
You always make me uncomfortable, so Prosper.
Like shot it in Prosper's mouth. It's
suddenly the Spanx that the full body Spanx that he wears uncomes and he just leaves this giant bulbous man.
Yeah, I just look at Mr. Hess and I'm like, all right, clearly you're the only person I'm talking to here because this guy is on smug level 9000 and Piani is in a wheelchair, so who knows what that vegetable's up to. But here's what happened. All right, he was gonna kill me. He knew you guys were outside. They were gonna kill you, but I cut us a deal. And the deal's not going to work. We're not going to get anything from the deal except our lives. You know what I'm saying?
They were going to kill you.
I'm just like slowly turning my head towards them.
I like the more
please keep going. I almost blew a hole in the wall with the grenade. I can't believe it.
Well, that's awesome. It's good you didn't. They were expecting you. They had.
He's like, I'm still holding the grenades.
Yeah. I'm like, look.
The explosions.
Mister, this deal will work out for us, all right? We got to take some stuff, and we got to take it to this place. It's not blue fever, so we're not transporting drugs. I don't know what's in it. He wouldn't tell me. But you got to remember, we're playing with a big dog here. We're not going to get paid for this, but he said we'd be open for future jobs if we do this for him. I think we do it. I mean, we don't got anything to lose except our lives. I'm not,
just because he's Madari doesn't mean that I'm against doing anything with him. In fact, it could get us closer to striking a more.
That's what I said, right when he was about to stab me in the. I mean, he did, but right before he was about to kill me, I mean, I said, hey, I can't transport something if it's got blue fever, even if it means my life, because I really like Mr. S. That's what I said, Mr. S.
Those I appreciate words. That, Mr. Okay. Higgins.
I knew you would. But we got to transport this stuff to the gun hilt system, and it'll be an easy job, is what he's promised me, and we'll live. So,
but we don't know what we're transporting.
Nope. And he said not to look in the package. I asked him if it was another AI, and he didn't say it was. So that we got that's good. We got that going for us.
We do need money though, and we are out of job as that good doctor went absolutely insane, and we are here because of your silver tongue getting us this ship fixed, but we have no funds, so we need to find something else to supplement this. This Helen thing also went down the drain, from what I understand, correct?
Heather? Was it Helen or Heather?
I can't remember.
It was Heather?
Yeah. So just to reiterate the Heather thing, she was looking for a crew for her ship, and that was only a few days ago, and her ship might still be here, and she might still be here, and thus her cargo might also still be here, so... And that was headed for Andoni.
Talk to her and see if we can double up on that job, because if we can get paid, that'll keep us sustained.
I agree. And, you know, you guys might not... I've worked with the Madari Syndicate before, and, you know, while they seem big and bad, they've also got a lot of money, and we can seem big and bad with them doing jobs for them, if you know what I'm saying. So if we get some enemies, well, those enemies aren't going to be a problem, if you get my drift. So it's just making friends. That's all we're doing.
Understandable.
Okay. And he also said don't worry about Calliobea, so I guess he's handling that. I don't really know what he meant by that, but maybe I got rid of that thing too with this job. I don't know. But we do need to make some money, so maybe we try to double up with Heather.
Well, and at the very least too, like, you get the impression that Mustafa Lee and Calliobea don't get along. Like, the Madari Syndicate isn't a omnicultural unified entity. You know, like, there's lots of infighting, and it's because it's made up of several different criminal syndicates that have been, like, merged together. So there's all kinds of power struggle there. So he, like, enemy of my enemy kind of thing might be the case with Mustafa.
Okay. Yeah, so I just lean in. I'm like, all right, is everyone... Wait, we'll have this conversation. We'll get their vote later. Mr. S, are you cool with it?
It sounds fine so far.
Okay. We'll try to find Heather later today, I think. Or tomorrow, whenever these idiots wake up. You gonna partake, by the way, Mr. S? And I kind of like grab one of the hookahs and take a long drag.
Not this time, friend. I think I will be the designated driver of sorts.
Okay, well, yeah, I think they got some blue fever in the next room. If you want to hit that, you have a good night. I just take like a long drag and laugh.
It's cool. Like,
and I guess I also sew up my wound.
Like destroyed by blue fever, so it's not even for a second fun.
that's why it's so fucked up.
Really not. Just the unfunniest. Cool. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, you guys hang out and hit the bong, and we'll fade out there for a break, and then we'll come back and see where you end up.
Cool. We'll go into the final segment. Is it? You said week 11. Is that right?
Yep.
We really have been playing. Holy
season
shit.
Season 2, episode 1.
I guess I still have that Dark Heresy mindset where I'm like, guys, it's episode 3. We'll see you next week.
See you next year.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll be right back after this quick break, guys. More Roleplay Swan Song coming up in just a bit.